কুঞ্জ বিহারি। জয় রাধা মাধব কুঞ্জ বিহারি, গোপী জন বলব গিরিবর ধারি, গোপী জন বলব গিরিবর ধারি, যশোরা নন্দন ভজন রঞ্জন, যশোরা নন্দন ভজন রঞ্জন, যমুনা তীরমন চারি, যমুনা তীর বনচারি, জয় রাধা মাধব কুঞ্জ বিহারি, গোপী জন বলব গিরিবর ধারি, যশোরা নন্দন ভজন রঞ্জন, যমুনা তীর বনচারি, জয় রাধা মাধব কুঞ্জ বিহারি, হরে কৃষ্ণ হরে কৃষ্ণ 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 হরে হরে, হরে রাম হরে রাম 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 হরে হরে, হরে কৃষ্ণ হরে কৃষ্ণ 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 হরে হরে, হরে রাম হরে রাম 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 হরে হরে, হরে কৃষ্ণ হরে কৃষ্ণ 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 হরে হরে, হরে রাম হরে রাম 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 হরে হরে, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Prabhupada jaya Prabhupada Prabhupada jaya Prabhupada 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 jaya Prabhupada Jayam Vishnupada Paramahamsa Parivraja Gacharya Stotara Sutta Shri Shri Majivangra Sesi Bhaktivinanta Swami Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai Gaur Premanande All glory to the Assembly of Devotees, All glory to the Assembly of Devotees, All glory to the Assembly of Devotees. All glories to Shri Shri Guru Gauranga, All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So today we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam. Canto 10, Chapter 1, Text number 18 and 19. So I'll do 18 alone and then we can all do number 19. Gaurbhudvashu mukhe khinna krandanti karunam vibho upasthitantike tasmai vyasanam Samavochata. Text 19, please repeat. Brahma tad upadharyatha sahadevaistayasaha jagama satrinayana Tiram Shira Payonidhe Brahma Brahma Tadupadharyatha Sahadevaistaya Saha Jagama Satrinayanas Tiram Shira Payonidhe Brahma tadupadharyatha sahadevaistaya saha jagama satrinayanas tiram shirapayo nidhe. Thank you. मातर पदारत सहरे वैस्तया सह जगाम सत्रिनयन तिरं शिर प्रयो निधे ब्रह्म तदुपधार्याथ सह देवैस्तया सह जगाम सत्रिनयन जीरं शिर प्रयो निधे तदुपधार्याथ सह देवैस्तया सह जगाम सत्रिनयन तीरं शिर प्रयो निधे वर्ड फॉर वर्ड ब्रह्मा Lord Brahma, Tat Upadharya, understanding everything rightly. Atha, thereafter, Saha, with, Devai, the demigods, Taya Saha, with Mother Earth, Jagama, approached, Satrinayanaha, with Lord Shiva, who has three eyes. Tiram, the shore. Shirapaya nidhe, of the ocean of milk. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Thereafter, having heard of the distress of Mother Earth, Lord Brahma with Mother Earth, Lord Brahma with Mother Earth, Lord Shiva, and all the other demigods approached the shore of the ocean of milk. Purport. After Lord Brahma understood the precarious condition of the earth, he first visited the demigods headed by Lord Indra, who are in charge of the various affairs of this universe, and Lord Shiva, who is responsible for annihilation. But maintenance and annihilation go on perpetually under the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as stated in Bhagavad Gita 4:8, Paritranaya Sadhunam Vinashaya Chadushkritam. Those who are obedient to the laws of God are protected by different servants and demigods, whereas those who are undesirable are vanquished by Lord Shiva. Lord Brahma first met all the demigods, including Lord Shiva. Then along with Mother Earth, they went to the shore of the ocean of milk, where Lord Vishnu lies on a white island, Sweta Dweep. Om Agyanati Mirandasya Agyananjana Shalakaya Chakshuramalitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasari Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So the translation again, text 18. Mother Earth assumed the form of a cow, very much distressed. With tears in her eyes, she appeared before Lord Brahma and told him about her misfortune. And 19. Thereafter, having heard of the distress of Mother Earth, Lord Brahma with Mother Earth, Lord Shiva, and all the other demigods approached the shore of the ocean of milk. So we have, when I first read this many years ago, it was from Krishna book, reading about this pastime of the advent of Lord Krishna and how Bhumi, the earthly planet, has been burdened so much by the sinful kings that she cannot tolerate it anymore. She is normally very, very tolerant. The earthly planet is very, very tolerant with so many mountains and trees and people trampling on it and so forth. And still she produces food grains and vegetables and fruits and so forth for people in general. But the sinful activities of the kings were so intolerable that now she has to look for help. So the general procedure is that she goes to Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma is the head of the universe. And whenever there is some difficulty, some problem in the world, those department heads, like the earthly goddess, Bhumi Devi, they will go to him for help, for assistance. Well, what can we do? There is a problem, and you know, we need some help. So here it is described that she took the form of a cow. She is very powerful. The deity of the earth is very, very powerful. She can take any form that she requires to use. But in this case, she's taking the form of a cow. In Vedic culture, the cow is very important. And everyone understands the position of the cow, whereby they try to help the cow. They don't kill the cow, they don't beat the cow, but they help the cow. So she's taking this form, this emblem of humility, and approaching Lord Brahma for help. So this is the method by which one gets help. One takes a humble position. In our everyday life also, whenever something goes wrong or in a temple situation, somebody has some difficulty, they have some problems with someone else, or they can't do their service because of some machine breaking down, or you know, the broom is broken, or whatever the case might be. Then they go to the department head, first of all, and they will ask for help. And if they don't get help, then they will go to the temple president. And if they still don't get help, then they may go to the GBC. And if not, then they will go to the entire body of the GBC. And still, if there is no help, then they just surrender. Krishna, maybe you have some plan here. They accept whatever Krishna has arranged for them. So not all the questions can be answered in a way that we want them to be answered. There are many things that are unanswerable because of the position we are in and the consciousness that we have. We may not be able to see the answers. Even the answers are coming, we may not be able to see them. Depending on our level of consciousness. And sometimes there are certain things that would not be mentioned. There are certain answers which may come to us, but it can only come in time because of protection for us, or if someone gives an answer, then maybe there are so many strings attached to it in different ways that might affect other people or might affect the smooth running of things. And so certain answers we may just have to wait for time. Time is the answer to all questions. In time, all questions will be solved. So there is this procedure how to get answers. They said in the second canto, I think there's a chapter called Srimad Bhagavatam is the answer to all questions. So the answers are there, and we just have to sometimes be patient. Sometimes patience is the answer. So we just have to be patient. And here we see Mother Earth is another mother. There, Chanakya Pandit, I think, who mentioned that there are seven mothers. Adau Mata. Adau Mata means our original mother. Then Guru Patni, the wife of the Guru. Brahmani, the wife of the Brahmana. Raja Patnika, the the wife of the king, the queen. Dhenur. Dhenur is the cow. Dhatri. Dhatri means the nurse. And Prithvi Saptaita Mataraha. Prithvi means the earth. So Adau Mata Guru Patni Brahmani Raja Patnika Dhenur Dhatri Tata Prithvi Saptaita Mataraha. So these are the seven kinds of mothers there are. And Srila Prabhupada added that actually all women are like mothers. Except for one's wife, all the women are considered to be mothers. So he actually was very sarcastic about saying, maybe not sarcastic is not the word, but he was sometimes joking like that, that in India, that people say Bahin. Bahin means sister. Bahinji means sister. So actually in this Vedic culture, Bahinji is not actually proper. More is Mataji, mother. Everyone is considered really mother. And Chanakya Pandit also talks about the five fathers. Anyone know who the five fathers are? Well, you have your own father, your natural father, your spiritual master is considered to be your father, your father-in-law, a man who gives one food, and a man who gives protection. These five are considered to be fathers. And there are many, many groups like that that Chanakya Pandit gave. He also gave a group called the four enemies of the family, or the four enemies of the home. Anybody knows what they are? A foolish son, a rascal. A father who has died with debt for the family. A beautiful wife. The last one. Who knows the last one? Yes? A mother who married a second time. An unchaste mother. Or married in the presence of her grown-up sons. So these four. They are considered to be enemies of the family. A father who dies a debtor, a son who is a rascal, foolish, a mother who marries again, and a beautiful wife. So all these are such wonderful knowledge for us to have and to also use in our everyday life. There's so many things. In fact, when I told my friend 2 months after I joined the movement that I have what I have learned, you know, in the Hare Krishna movement in 2 months, I haven't learned all my life. He said, really? I want to read what you are reading. So I gave him Bhagavad Gita to read. So all this information is there. And Mother Earth is approaching Lord Brahma in the ocean of milk. At the banks of the ocean of milk. So all of them now, Lord Shiva and Lord Indra and all the different department heads and all the demigods, there are 33 crore of them. I'm not sure if all, it's not mentioned whether all of them went there, but it says many of the demigods, other demigods, they went to the ocean, to the bank of the ocean of milk. And that's in the material world. Srila Prabhupada described that Sweta Dweep. Sweta Dweep is an island. It means the white island. Sweta Dweep. And on that island is Lord Vishnu, Shirodakashayi Vishnu. We know there are three Vishnus. There is Karanodakashayi Vishnu, who usually called Mahavishnu. Then there is Garbhodakashayi Vishnu, who lies at the bottom of the universe. And then there is Shirodakashayi Vishnu, who is on the planet, who we are talking about now. Shiro. Shir means milk. Shirodakashayi, so he lies in this on this island which is inside of the milk ocean. And we know that there are seven different types of oceans. Here we have a saltwater ocean, then there is the liquor ocean, and there is ghee ocean, and the ocean of ghee, then an ocean of clear water, an ocean of yogurt, like that. So all this information is all there in the Srimad Bhagavatam. You can read about that in the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. So Lord Vishnu, he lies on the bed, on the Ananta, on the bed of snakes, serpents, on the Sweta Dweep, on this island. And the demigods, they cannot actually go onto the island, they cannot enter, but they can stand on the banks and they can offer prayers. They offer the Purusha Sukta and other prayers. Purusha Sukta begins with Om Sahasra Shirsha Purusha Sahasra Raksha Sahasrapad, like that. And then they attract the attention of Lord Vishnu, who speaks to the heart of Brahma and tells them what he will do. And of course, he gave them the instruction that all of them should go take birth within the Yadu dynasty, and he will himself will be coming to get rid of all the sinful kings. So all these are these department heads that are there. Lord Brahma in charge of the universe, Indra in charge of the king, you know, he's called the king of heaven, Durga, she is in charge of the material world. And then there is, you know, the sun god Surya, and the moon god Chandra, and the water god Varuna, and then so many millions of different departments that they are, that they are handling the affairs of the universe. And every one of them is doing it exactly. Every morning you can see the sun comes up. And the sun god can't say, well, I'm tired today, I'm going to go take rest. He is ready for his service all the time. And all these demigods, they are doing their service like that. Sometimes, you know, when we are limited in so many ways. We have to take rest, you know, sometimes we get sick, and so forth. But the service of the Lord has to go on. So we make some arrangement. Okay, well, I can't do it today, so let me call someone else to take my position. So a person who is responsible will do like that. We are, in general, people in Kali Yuga are very irresponsible. So they don't show up for their service, or they forget. A lot of times people forget and no one knows, and then devotees who are there, they have to rush and try to get things done so that the Lord gets the offering on time. It happens quite a bit, actually. So the more you have responsible people, the more everything can run smoothly. And for the universal affairs, these devotees, demigods, they are actually very much on top of everything, and they make sure everything gets done. In the fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, there is talk about the earthly planet also taking the form of a cow. Prithu Maharaj, who was the son of King Vena. There was a time when the world was run by King Vena, but he was very, very demoniac king himself. So the Brahmins killed him, and then they churned his body, and Prithu Maharaj came out of that body, and then he was actually incarnation of the Lord. And the cow and the earth was not producing, and the earth will hold back if there is a lot of sinful activities going on. All the seeds will be put away, and so forth. So the earth was not producing, and the people were starving, and they were calling out to the king. And the king's job is to provide for the citizens. So they all came to the king, King Prithu, and saying, we are tired, we are hungry, we are burning up, our digestion is on fire, and so forth. And then he thought the only reason why this is happening is because the earth is not producing. So he took his bow and arrow out and was ready to kill the deity of the earth. And then she was running all over the universe. She took the form of a cow again and was running all over the universe trying to escape Prithu Maharaj. So finally she turned back, and she took a humble position, and she started offering prayers to Lord Prithu. And she explained that it was because of sinful people, that's why she wasn't producing. In fact, this prayer here said, My dear King, 418.7 of Srimad Bhagavatam, 418.7. My dear King, not only are grains and herbs being used by non-devotees, but as far as I am concerned, I am not being properly maintained. Indeed, I am being neglected by kings who are not punishing these rascals who have turned into thieves by using grains for sense gratification. If you use grains for sense gratification, if you eat chapatis for sense gratification, that's against the law. Consequently, I have hidden all these seeds which were meant for the performance of sacrifice. Srila Prabhupada in the purport said something very important. That which happened during the time of Pitu Maharaj and his father, King Vena, is also happening at the present moment. A huge arrangement exists for the production of large-scale industrial and agricultural products, but all these products are meant for sense gratification. Therefore, despite such productive capacities, there is scarcity because the world's population is full of thieves. The word chori bhute indicates that the population has turned to thievery. According to Vedic understanding, men are transformed into thieves when they plan economic development for sense gratification. It is also explained in Bhagavad Gita that if one eats food grains without offering them to the Supreme Lord, Yajna, he is a thief and liable to be punished. According to spiritual communism, all properties on the surface of the globe belong to the personality of Godhead. The population has a right to use goods only after offering them to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is the process of accepting prasad. Unless one eats prasadam, he is certainly a thief. This is very heavy. Unless one eats prasadam, he is certainly a thief. It is the duty of governors and kings to punish such thieves and maintain the world nicely. We'll have to punish the whole world, practically speaking. All those who are now, are you eating prasadam? No, I have to punish. If this is not done, grains will no longer be produced and people will simply starve. Indeed, not only will people be obliged to eat less, but they will kill one another and eat each other's flesh. They are already killing animals for flesh. So when there will no longer be grains, vegetables and fruits, they will kill their own sons and fathers and eat their flesh for sustenance. In the 12th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam that talks about the degradation of the Kali Yuga. All these things are mentioned there, how man will live short lives, children will be getting pregnant at 5. If you live for 20 years, that'll be very old. And so many things are there in the 12th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. So like this, finally what would happen in Pritu Maharaj's situation is that Mother Earth will start to produce. Pritu Maharaj, of course, because he is the Lord himself, he doesn't really need Bhumi, the Earth, to produce. He doesn't really necessarily, he can do it all himself. But here the cow, the earthly planet in the form of the cow, has taken shelter and has been protected by the Supreme Lord Prithu, and she is going to start to produce all these different things. And all the different groups of the living entities, they all came forward and they were producing a calf and there was a pot and for the milk, and they were milking so many things that people need, and they had all the different food that they need, all the different groups of the serpents and the birds and everyone, they all get their needs because of the presence of Pritu Maharaj and protecting the earthly planet. So when people become very sinful and take everything for themselves instead of offering it to the Supreme Lord, then the whole, the everything goes haywire and confused, and that's at that point, and everything gets scarce, and the world becomes a miserable place, more miserable place to live in. So, so I'll stop there. Are there any questions or comments? Questions first. Damodar.
Is the ocean of milk produced by cows, and why doesn't it go bad?
Sorry?
The ocean of milk, is it produced by many, many cows, and we have experienced that milk goes bad after some time. Why doesn't the ocean of milk go bad?
The ocean of milk is produced by many cows?
I'm asking. Where does the ocean of milk come from? Because milk is a product of an animal. Water is naturally existing everywhere.
And you think the ocean of yogurt also came
yeah.
from? It's you would know that Krishna can do anything. He can produce, everything is mystical, and even within our own life. But Krishna produced all these things. He just, you know, he just glanced over it, and all these things come into being. So that's a spiritual planet, actually. Within the material world, two, or at least these two I know, are considered spiritual. They don't get destroyed. When the material world gets destroyed, that's the Svetadvip planet, and who knows the other one? Dhruvaloka, the pole star. So they are spiritual, and by saying spiritual means it's not material, means it doesn't go, it doesn't, it's not under the laws of material nature. Things don't go bad with those. They stay spiritual. So the ocean of milk is always pure and white. Yes, Yamaraj Prabhu.
Yeah, Hari Prabhu. You know, I saw a film the other day put out by Satsarup Maharaj in 2007. And I have a question for you. He said, one question is, what is the biggest, what country is the biggest cow killing country for leather?
Is it India?
Yes, it's India. And I was so surprised when I heard that, because I was always thinking it was the U.S. And in spite of so many laws that they have to protect the cow, then they had like graphic pictures of them killing cows and everything. And so sad, you know.
Yeah, even India. I mean, in many places in India, of course, the people in the villages and so forth, they still maintain cow protection. But the nature of the world, the nature of material world is for things to get degraded and deteriorate. In Vrindavan, we see, even though people are trying to protect as much as possible at night people would come in their trucks and try to steal people's cows and put them on their trucks and drive, mostly in the Muslims. They will come at night, late at night, and they will try to steal people's cows and, you know, take them to the slaughterhouse like that. But in many villages in India, hundreds of villages, they're still very much, you can see, you know, even in Vrindavan, you drive around, you see all these cow patties, you know, they put them on the trees and, you know, the mud houses and so forth they're using. They're still, you can see the cow protection there. People know what cow protection is. And how to take care of cows and use the cow products and so forth. But like everything else, the government and, you know, and sinful people who don't actually know all the benefits one can have by protecting cows. That's why, Srila Prabhupada said, that's why in Kali Yuga, Krishna has come to this world in the form of the Krishna Consciousness Movement, to teach people how to do cow protection. Krishi Vanijyam Goraksha. To farming and trade and cow protection and so forth. Anything else, Chubik Khan? And then Ambika.
So on that point that Yamaraj made, India has about 250 million Muslims. So all of them eat cow. It's like a must for them. And I guess, you know, it's like a license for them to kill cows. And then they use them. They would sell the leather to the Hindus and things. They make all kind craft work, artifacts and so forth, you see. But generally, I think those that follow the Vedic traditions, they don't really eat the cow or even kill them, you know. In fact, in Nepal, it's a crime to even kill a cow. You kill a cow, they hang you or something, see. But because of the Muslims and the Christians, you know, so it may seem as if India itself is, you know, but really it's the Muslim and the Christians who actually kill the cows, you know. I mean, this is a point for us to note, you know. It's not, you know, generally Hindus, you know, they wouldn't want to do that. They know it's terrible. They're not going to do it, you know. Yeah.
There are some groups of Muslims who don't eat meat. They are vegetarians, like the Sufis and so forth. So it's not across the board like that. Not all Muslims, you cannot say that. But it's terrible anyway for India to be India, and the knowledge that India has. Srila Prabhupada was proud of India being the vision, America being the lame man or the blind man. And India being lame, but if they come together, the blind man could be carried by India. In America, could be carried by India in the form of his knowledge, and everyone can actually benefit from it. Ambika.
So if I was born beautiful, and I plan on being a wife, how do I avoid offending the home?
If you were born beautiful and avoid being a wife, is that what you said? Huh? And you plan to be a wife. I see. Well, when you become a devotee, then everything changes. That applies to an ordinary woman. But when one becomes a devotee, then the whole structure of everything changes. Because a devotee of the Lord is very special. Their lives are used for attracting Krishna and attracting others for Krishna's service. So you can get married. In fact, Srila Prabhupada wanted all women to get married. Everyone should get married. He said, the women should get married and all the men should stay brahmachari. You have heard that before. So it is the task that we have ahead of us. But we shouldn't be worried about that. We should just continue to serve Krishna as much as we can. And all the things that look like they are problems will all be cleared away in time. There are many beautiful wives, and there are many beautiful chaste women in the Vedic culture. Sita Devi, Mandodari, and Draupadi. Draupadi was considered to be the most beautiful at that time. But you can see they make it to the Bhagavatam because they were so chaste. Most important for a woman is chastity. That's her real beauty. Beauty of the body can fade. In fact, it will fade in time. Beauty of the body is no beauty at all. But it will attract men who are in a material consciousness. So, I hope I answered it. Mother Kuti?
I was just going to say that it's a matter of how you use your beauty, and it can be reserved in certain times and places, and it can not doesn't have to be detrimental. Doesn't you don't have to become your husband's enemy. You can actually use it for preaching and encourage him more and work together and use that beauty and to expand Krishna consciousness. And that will please your husband, please Srila Prabhupada. So it's a matter of how you use it.
Yeah. Thank you. In fact, when I was just joining the movement around in the 80s, I saw a magazine, and at the back of the magazine, some of you probably also saw it, they were showing the four classes of men, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Shudra. And one of the articles there, they have this picture of a model who became a devotee. Have any of you seen that? There was a devotee, a lady, I think she was from...
As it is.
So, but she was there, and you know, dressed up with tilak and you know, sari and so forth. And it was, she was using her beauty for preaching. All right, time was up. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.